And so may I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, on our patronal festival, we remember Peter and Paul, the patron saints of this church and giant figures of our faith. Preaching on a patronal festival can be an interesting challenge. My previous church was dedicated to St. Margaret of Antioch, and her feast day on the 20th of July always presented a certain challenge because she probably never existed. If you read the great medieval compendiums of the lives of the saints, the Golden Legend by Jacobus de Varenne, he contains some very fanciful stories about her being swallowed by a dragon and being failed to be boiled alive, before noting that this probably didn't happen, which is extreme for a medieval collection of the lives of the saints. Yet that's not a challenge we face with Peter and with Paul, who, despite being sort of giants of our faith, worthy of being enshrined in statues and in stained glass in this church and indeed everywhere, they are people who still come across as decidedly human and recognisable characters. We have Simon Peter, the lumbering fisherman with an impetuous streak. Jesus calls him Petros, the rock, which I've always thought is quite a bad pun, really, calling him sort of rocky. Simon, the one who's built like a boulder and whose head is full of rocks. Peter, who doesn't get it time and time and time again, who jumps into situations without thinking, who doesn't understand Jesus or what he's doing most of the time, who gets these glimpses of inspiration but then stuffs it up over and over again. In our reading today, he recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, but we know that he will go on to deny him. Later on in Acts, we know they will have the vision about welcoming Gentiles into the church, and yet he will still side with the Jewish Christians for fear of causing offence. Indeed, it doesn't particularly come well in our reading from Acts today. The work of God is done by an angel who releases Peter. All Peter does is sleep a bit, then wake up and act slightly surprised by it all before disappearing off. He's not, if we're honest, the steadiest rock that you might want to build a church on. But that is just what the big fisherman who is impetuous, who is thoughtless, who gives and reacts so instinctively, that is just what he becomes. Then we have Paul, who is quite different, a firebrand, quick-minded, zealous, very quick to take offence, and he doesn't take prisoners once he's taken the time to think deeply and come to a view on something. Somebody who persecuted the church before his conversion, and then who sought to bring discomfort to those churches that needed it around Asia Minor. Clever, but perhaps not likable. Confident, but not warm. It's the sort of person who would tell you that he doesn't boast in anything, but if he were to boast, know this, that no one could boast quite as much as he does, for he is the Jew of Jews, full of righteousness, beyond blameless, etc., etc., etc. Not an easy character to get along with. And so we have these two figures, the slightly spiky Paul and the headstrong Peter, who become the foundation not just of this church, but of the church in Rome. Legend has it that they are the ones who, on the same day but in different places, lose their life for witnessing to their faith in Christ. Peter, as it goes in the Latin, is crowned with the sword. Paul and Peter on the cross reversed as he's crucified. They are very real characters that come across to us in our readings through Scripture. Frail and human characters, very much so. Yet it's through this frailty, through this weakness, through these imperfections that God chose to work in bringing about the good news. In many ways, they form a recognizable past, not just being perfect figures enshrined in stained glass, but they are realistic human people whom we can relate to and see just how God has worked through them in the past. They show us how connected we are, how much we can understand the church in the past, that it's not just an abstract thing but made up of people of flesh and blood, people who are just like us. And we are connected to them deeply. For it's the examples and the stories of the apostles, of the martyrs, and the prophets which are at the foundation of our faith. It is today on the shoulders of Peter, of Paul, and countless others that we stand. Their lives, their witness, forms a great chain in which we continue to participate. Though some of the stories may seem incredulous, the dedication and the zeal of our spiritual forebears can and indeed should touch us still today. I think it's important that as we look at these figures, we realise that the faith that has come down to us comes down through a community. It's not an impersonal faith or a dogma that we hold, but a relationship with a personal God worked out through participation in a community of people. That's what's so important. The saints are a key part of that chain, a key part of our past. But they are also our future as well. We as a church look forward to the consummation of the kingdom of God, when all who share in the unity of Christ will be together again. The Apostles' Creed talks about the communion of saints, a communion we share in with those who have gone before us, and indeed those who will come after us, all through Jesus Christ. Our great hope as Christians is that communion, sort of intangible as it is now, will one day be realised and be as real as the gathering we find ourselves in here this morning. When we talk about the saints, we're talking about people. But more importantly, we're talking about not just the lives of the great figures and heroes of the church, but also about those many, many more ordinary lives which have made the claims of Jesus and of Christianity credible and believable. That's ultimately what Christian witness is about. Think perhaps of your past, of those who've been important in your faith journey. People in this church, perhaps who are no longer with us. People who were as imperfect, as infuriating, and as imprudent as Peter and Paul, and yet who helped show us the reality of faith in their lives and helped it make sense for ourselves and for our own lives. It's very tempting to look back in the past at the church and think how wonderful things were in the past, how some sort of golden era has passed. Yesterday we had the baptism of Marlowe in church, and I opened the baptism register to the first page, and in the front of it is a list of every vicar of this church from the 1940s onwards who have baptised people contained within the register. It's very much a list of the great and the good, which sort of dwindles down until you get to me. It can seem sort of daunting to look at those names, indeed to look at those pictures we have in the rooms at the back, and to think, well, things aren't quite what they were, are they? When I have these thoughts, the great hope I have is in that moments like this, is that one day, perhaps, in the future, far away, believe it or not, we will be remembered as a great generation that's passed. That one day people also will look back on me, on you, and indeed all of us, with gratitude, I hope, for all that we did to make God look credible in our lives, and just to show what is possible in a life of faith. When we celebrate Peter and Paul in this church, when we celebrate the life of our church together on a day like this, I think the question is the same one that Peter was asked by Jesus. Who do you say that I am? What is the answer we can give? What is the example we can live in response to that? What is it we want to leave those who will follow us in the great chain of faith? That chain which starts at Golgotha, which extends through Peter, through Paul, and through all the ages, which goes through all those who've worshipped in our church on this site over the last 800 years. What do we want to leave behind? What is our witness? What is possible for us to do as a community of faith brought into existence by the love of God? We have a lot we can take away from the lives of the saints who've gone before us, and we have much to give to those who will come into this church after us. But as we do so, we do knowing that it's the love of God revealed in Christ that makes all of this possible, which unites us as a community of faith across the years, and which we should continue to bear witness to today and each day. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.